Hello, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, and this is episode number 5 of the Smart Running Podcast. Today, we'll talk about the third principle to apply when planning a training schedule. The first step was the hard, easy training principle. The second consideration was the weekly long run. Today, we'll discuss how to put those together to make a logical microcycle, and then how to group those microcycles into 3 phases, which together comprise a macrocycle. Believe me, it sounds more complicated than it is. Now, we said that you should plan your week with alternating hard, easy days and perhaps 2 easy days in a row. Then once a week, you want to include a long run that is about 3 times as long as your short or easy weekday runs, and at least a third longer than your long weekday runs. So an example might be 3 miles on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 miles on Tuesday and Thursday, and 9 miles on Sunday, with Saturday as a complete rest day. That would be an example of a 1-week microcycle. So a microcycle is the smallest increment of your training schedule. Most people use a week because it fits into their weekly work schedule. But your microcycle could just as easily be 8 days or 10 days. Another way to look at it is that your microcycle might be 14 days if, like me, you only do a really long run every 2 weeks. I find that my body responds much better to that, probably because even though I have many years of running behind me, it takes me 2 weeks to really recover from a very long run. This is only when I'm training for a marathon, though, which means my long runs then are much longer than they would be during other macrocycles. The rest of the time, I am on a weekly microcycle like most other people. Remember, one huge advantage of planning your own training schedule is that it's easy to customize it to your body, and it's easy to tweak it if you think a change would be beneficial. Now let us look at macrocycles. A macrocycle is the period of time between goal races. Most runners plan 2 or 3 goal races per year. This varies widely, of course, because a marathoner, especially a new marathoner, would not want more than 2 marathons in a year. But a 5K runner could have several goal 5K races. Still, if that 5K runner is seeking a stellar performance, a new PR, and by that I mean a personal record, fewer races might be the key, because that makes it possible to complete a full macrocycle in preparation for each race. This is certainly what I advise for the person who wants to run full tilt 100% going for a PR. A macrocycle is composed of these 3 phases: a base phase, a sharpening phase, and a tapering phase, which are each comprised of microcycles. So your microcycles continually change but are similar, with similar intent during each of the phases of the macrocycle. Today we'll focus on the base building phase. The base building phase is when you build your mileage base. The longer your goal race, the more miles you need for your base. And everyone should always build a reasonable base, even people who never plan to race more than a 5K. So what should your mileage base be before you do your first 5K? Well, if you just want to finish, which is a perfectly reasonable goal for your first 5K, 15 miles would be acceptable. If you are a serious, experienced runner going for a PR, 25 would be more appropriate. And that's just for a 5K. A serious, experienced marathoner, on the other hand, will likely build a base of 60 to 80 miles per week when preparing for a goal marathon. Here are some guidelines for increasing mileage during the base phase. Never increase your weekly mileage by more than 10% per week. And if you do increase by 10%, keep the mileage the same for 2 weeks, which, when taken together, means you're only increasing by 5% per week. Why? Because if you continually build by 10% per week every week, you're probably going to get hurt. Consider this. Let's say you're doing 20 miles per week to begin with. Then increasing your distance per week by 10% for just 6 weeks, you'd be up to 35 miles. That's just too much too fast. Your body needs more time to adapt. And when you give it more time to adapt, it will respond much better. I would follow one of these options for increasing weekly mileage. Increase by 10% and maintain for 2 weeks before increasing again, as I've just explained, or increase by 5% per week. But there's one more step, whichever of those you choose, and that is to drop it back every third week to make that a rest week. Then the following week, you pick up where you left off. Your next question is, how much should I drop back? Drop it back 10 to 20% to make it a true rest week. Then return to your progression. And when I say drop it back for your rest week, I mean drop back your long run, because that is the greatest stress. Leave the other days alone. Of course, the options are endless, really. Instead of dropping back every third week, you could increase 10% each time you increase your weekly mileage, but then keep it there for 3 weeks. This would work, too, but I think your body likes those rest weeks. Again, this is an individual issue. That explains the pace at which to increase your miles from week to week. But now you need, or we need, to discuss where and how to add your miles. In other words, where within the microcycle should you add them? Here's the guideline from the RRCA, that's the Roadrunner Clubs of America. Add to your long run first, then add to your longer weekday run, and add to your easy or rest day last. That's because, as I talked about in a previous podcast, it is critical that you keep your easy days easy, no matter what. Increase the length of your easy or recovery runs when they comprise less than 10% of your weekly miles, and not until then. Some people, new to these concepts, will feel inclined to do just the opposite. They like order, and to them, it seems strange to do so many more miles one day than another. They may want to make their day-to-day mileage approximately equal. This is the exact opposite of what you want to do. By having a very hard day, which is your long run, and 2 hard days per week, you are applying the principle of overload. For that to be effective, you must allow your body to recover. This is a time-proven method to make you stronger. The next guideline has to do with making sure your weekly total mileage is in the right proportion to your long run distance. That's something you have to keep in mind as well, a very important factor. Try to make sure that your long runs don't comprise more than 1/3 of your total weekly mileage. So if your weekly long run is 6 miles, you should be getting in a minimum of 18 miles per week. If your long run is 12 miles, you should be getting in a minimum of 36 miles per week, and so on. If you can't quite get in that many miles, you'll probably be okay, particularly if you're doing some cross training to supplement your mileage. I think this would especially hold true in regards to spinning, because that really complements running. This should only account for a small adjustment in total mileage, however, and it should never be used as replacement for an appropriate long run. My rule of thumb would be to never, ever allow your weekly mileage to drop to the point that your weekly long run is half of your weekly mileage. That would be dangerous, and injury would be likely. Many people, especially non-runners, fear that lots of miles are bad for your body and will leave you hobbled. Not so. Not at all. But that is why we have training principles. The key here is to build your base gradually, correctly, and not do too much, if any, speed work during base building. We'll talk about speed work in a minute. But your base miles should be easy miles. As regards mileage, just remember, Research shows that the runners who do the highest mileage experience the fewest injuries. I cannot tell you how many times they repeated this in the RRCA coaches training course. But this only holds true if you correctly build up to that weekly total. The length of your long run is determined by the distance of the race you're training for. So, you can extrapolate from that to determine what your maximum weekly mileage total should be at the end of your base building phase. Then, start where you are and make sure your training schedule has you building up gradually according to the hard-easy principle, with one long run per microcycle until you reach the desired long run distance. The base building phase is when you are building both the long run and the weekly mileage total. The emphasis is not on speed. Your base becomes the foundation of the speed training that comes later. Now, can you get by with less? Maybe. But if you do not attain the suggested base, or do not attain it with appropriate increases, then you run a great risk of injury, and you will not be in condition to properly benefit from the sharpening and tapering phases to come. Your base building phase includes very little speed work, and that is incorporated gently and towards the end of the base period. Even then, that speed work should not be intense, probably never faster than 90%. A good way to begin to incorporate speed work at the end of the base period to prepare for the sharpening period is to simply include a weekly hill session or a weekly fartlek training session or an occasional 5K race. Even then, the race should not be at full speed because you're not ready for that. You're not trained for that at this point. The distinction between the base and sharpening periods is the intensity and frequency of the speed work. During the sharpening period, you maintain your base or close to it, but make 1 or 2 days each week speed work days. We'll discuss that, speed work I mean, in detail in another podcast. The third part of the macro cycle is the tapering phase. This is the resting phase. During this phase, the focus is on more rest time, fewer miles, and race-specific training. The speed work continues, but in lesser quantity and greater quality. Much more on that, too, in another podcast. That is a macro cycle. The length of time needed in each phase is largely dependent on the goal race for which the runner is training. But even a runner who doesn't ever plan to race will benefit from following this outline because it's an excellent, efficient way to safely reach maximum fitness, an appropriate goal for anyone. Now, some people want to race much more often, even monthly. Some people race every week. I know a handful of local runners, who all happen to be in their 60s and 70s, who do a race every weekend. They've all been racing for years, and it's a way of life for them. They're not out there trying to set a new PR. They are loving the fact that they are still out there, and they are loving the camaraderie. For them, that's the goal. And I sure can't find any fault with that. I love to race too. I love the feeling of being part of a happening, of sharing the experience. My goal, much of the time, is to be in good enough shape to have a decent race, but I'm not expecting a PR. I will often give up a PR in favor of racing more frequently, and I do many of those races as speed work. Doing races periodically during your training is a good way to measure your fitness level. It's like a way to test to tell you what you need to work on. And a 5K is an excellent speed workout. Just make sure you're being realistic and not expecting to do a particularly good time when you do a race that is not a goal race. You should only expect a PR when you're doing a goal race for which you've prepared with a complete macro cycle. Another huge consideration is cross-training. That has to be carefully inserted on the right days so as to facilitate training rather than interrupt recovery and thus cause regression or, in the worst cases, injury. I'll devote a whole episode to cross training, but just keep in mind that it must be considered as well. I hope this information has been helpful, and I hope you'll find it easier in the future to plan your training schedule and to make adjustments to that training schedule. Please visit mojoforrunning.com. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please go to iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in more personalized coaching or have questions, consider signing up for the Coach on Call or Phone a Coach program on my website. Now here's today's quote. Life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. Adi Is Nin.